At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
With us on the line now is Gavin Oates. He's the managing director and owner of Tree of Knowledge, one of the UK's most exciting people development organisations. His latest book, A Head Full of Everything, is inspiration for teenagers with the world on their mind. Misunderstood by society and misrepresented by the media, teenagers have it tough. Welcome to the show, Gavin.
Hey, nice to hear from you. Are you well?
Yes, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Lovely to chat with you again. It's true. I can't imagine being a teenager in this day and age, to be honest. I really think they do have it tough.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it was so fascinating writing this book. And I mean, I'm 42 and having to go back to think about my teenage years and then listening to what teenagers have to say nowadays. I mean, just social media alone, the thought of people walking around with phones, being able to film everything you do, just terrifies the life out of me. But you're right, I think they do have it harder now, but they are amazing. They're a resilient bunch. They are our future. And they have amazing, amazing ideas to bring to the world.
Yeah, I think adults have been learning a lot from young people over the last couple of years. I've really, not so much during COVID times necessarily, but certainly before that, with kids learning things at school and making changes and trying to get adults to change their mindset when it comes to the planet, and doing more to save and look after the planet. It seems to be kids that are teaching the adults who are a bit more set in their ways.
I couldn't agree more. I actually used to be a primary school teacher. And I remember when I first started going into teaching, albeit that was with primary school kids, I always remember being so inspired every single day by their ideas, their mindset, their resilience, their creativity, their fun, their excitement, their drive, their passion. And then eventually when I stepped out the classroom and started to run my business, Tree of Knowledge, working with teenagers, it was just that times 100, you know. You mentioned in your introduction that teenagers get a bad press or a tough time, and they do, you know. They're seen as sometimes maybe being a bit lazy, and, you know, okay, we can all be a bit lazy from time to time. But when you get into those discussions with them and you hear about their passions and their interests and what they want for the world, it is genuinely inspiring.
So tell us a bit more about what you do with Tree of Knowledge. It sounds great.
Oh, I'm so proud of the business. We basically create all sorts of weird and wonderful experiences, whether that's a half day workshop or a program that runs over several months for young people. Nowadays, working with kids as young as 5 all the way up to about 18. And everything is sort of wrapped around this central idea of inspiring the world. You know, we want to help people to help themselves, to be, it sounds really corny, but to be the best version of themselves that they possibly can be, particularly at the moment. You know, you mentioned COVID, the last 2 years. I was trying to think of a word there to describe the last 2 years. Let's go with wow. We'll just stick with that.
Yes.
It's been absolutely unbelievable. And even now, you know, look at the news and the fear and the dread and the worry.
Yeah.
You know, as a small company, you know, we are out there every day trying to do our bit to make a difference, put smiles on faces, light fires in bellies. I mean, what's the point in having a belly if there's no fire in it? You know, so that's what we're out to do.
And what kind of general feedback do you get from the teenagers that you're working with?
We get such fantastic feedback, and we've got a way of doing things where, you know, it's not cheesy, it's not corny, it's not patronising. You know, teenagers don't want to be talked down to. They don't want to be patronised. They want to be involved. They want to be brought into the conversation, have real, honest conversation. But we have what we call our 3 E's, and that is entertain, enlighten, and educate. I'm a firm believer that not just teenagers, but all of us, we would all rather be entertained than educated. People spend more money on being entertained than they do educated. But if we can entertain and help them to feel great about where they're at and where they're going, and we teach them some cool stuff that maybe in the moment they don't realise they're being taught or learning, then we're onto something really cool.
That's definitely the key, isn't it, for children and young adults to enjoy learning, and as you say, even better to be learning without realising they're learning. If it's just fun, then it's even better.
Absolutely, I know. I've always thought I want the stuff that I do, whether it's the books, whether it's talks, workshops, programs. You know, it's on the walk home from school or later on when you're lying in your bed that the learning kind of leaps up and smacks you around the face and you go, right, it's me. It was me he was talking about. I need to think about this and, yeah, I need to make those positive changes. So, yeah, no, we get great feedback and it's so much fun, so much fun.
It must be difficult sometimes with regards to the social media side of things. If teenagers or youngsters are having a struggle with social media, whether it's, you know, not getting enough likes on their pictures or cyberbullying, you know, to the extreme, it must be difficult if parents or grandparents of these kids aren't on social media themselves and therefore really, really don't get and understand the concept. You know, it must be really easy for an adult who's not on social media to just say, well, come off Facebook then. Don't be on it, you know, as if that's a really easy, obvious solution. But of course, to a young person, it's not.
It's so true. I think adults are actually just as bad when it comes to social media as teenagers, if I'm being honest. But I think when I was writing the book, like it's one of the most challenging things I've ever written, because when it comes to social media, you can't just say to teenagers, get off social media. It's not that simple. So it was about finding that balance and introducing different things they can do if they want to reduce the amount of time. Because, you know, that it goes for anyone. That cheeky 40 minutes that you spend scrolling on your phone after school or after work, I mean, that 40 minutes is your life. That's 40 minutes you're not getting back. That's 40 minutes you could actually look into the eyes of an actual human and have brilliant chat or listen to an album. Or, you know, go and walk in the rain, have an ice lolly, whatever it might be, but like real actual life. Mm. So when I was writing the book, I was really mindful of how to encourage teenagers to maybe put their phones down and look up a little bit more often. And I talked about this sort of concept of finding Nemo. You know, everyone talks about FOMO, the fear of missing out, and whereas actually I quite like the idea of JOMO, which is the joy of missing out. And it was this idea of maybe trying to find a middle ground where, you know, we talked about finding Nemo, this idea of not entirely missing out. So, you know, putting your phone down and switching off is unrealistic. Being on it all the time is not good for you. So finding somewhere in the middle that encourages teenagers to, put the phone down, scroll a little bit less. I can't imagine how many miles teenagers have scrolled with their thumbs over the last couple of years.
Yes.
You know, a million years from now, our thumbs will be huge. In fact, 5 million years, we're all just going to be thumbs. And that's the parents as well as the kids. So it's a tough one with social, but there's some cool stuff in the book, tips, techniques, but also some gentle reminders that this isn't good for you. You know, there's great education online. There's great training. There's great entertainment. It connects people. But, and we saw that during the pandemic, but it disconnects you from yourself at times as well.
I felt really, really sorry for youngsters during the pandemic, particularly, you know, when we were in lockdown and we weren't able to see each other, to see our loved ones, to see our friends. You know, I'm sure it was difficult for everybody, but for young people particularly, you know, during those years when socializing is so important. And, you know, as adults, when we look back on our teenage years or years as a young person, you know, those first kisses, the school dances, you know, all these moments that generations of children will have just totally missed out on because they wouldn't have been able to leave their homes. It really bothered me thinking about that.
Yeah, well, my son, he went into the first lockdown in his final year of primary school and then came out of these lockdowns in high school. And in that time, he grew what seemed like about 4 foot. His voice broke, his hair's down to his shoulders, he started shaving.
Wow.
This little boy came home from school one day and then went back to high school, a man. And I think that whole transition from primary to secondary, you know, you mentioned things like school dances there, but school trips, the visit days to the big school, you know, these things truly matter in our development and our progress. progress. And I agree with you. I think, as you said, everybody had a tough time at moments, but our young people, you know, that just being able to go out to your pal's house. I'm just going out on my bike for a while. And we're just heading, like, I grew up in a little town in the west coast of Scotland, and we all just used to congregate at the beach. It didn't matter the weather. You came in from school, if you had a bit of homework to do, well, we told our parents we did it. We maybe didn't do it. and then we all just headed for the beach. Yeah. I can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to do any of that in your teens. Although in saying that, you know, our teenagers nowadays are such a resilient bunch. And actually, you know, they're so used to using technology to connect and to learn and to engage with their friends that actually, you know, there'll be a lot of them out there as well. It was probably second nature to them to be able to use that technology. Whereas us adults were having to learn how to run our businesses and do our jobs overnight on Teams and Zoom and things like that. So, yeah, but I think, well, of course, we're not going to know the full impact on people for a long time. But I think our young people are truly resilient and, yeah, there's exciting things coming for them all, I'm sure.
Yeah, it must have been particularly difficult for parents who had been, before COVID, had been maybe battling with their kids and trying to get them to go outside more and spend less time online and on their gadgets. And then for a couple of years, them not being able to go outside and all they can do is be at home online and in their gadgets, and then coming out of lockdown, right, you've got to stop that again and go back outside.
I know.
Must have been awful.
Yeah, by that point, I mean, the habits that have formed just during those lockdowns are going to be a tough one to crack. I mean, getting yourself off of social media for anybody's hard, but I think everybody's scrolling rocketed in those lockdowns. But again, I think, you know, that technology probably saved lives in some cases.
Yeah.
But I mentioned it earlier, for me, it's the disconnect from ourselves, you know, just, you know, I remember as a teenager, you'd invite your friends to your house to listen to an album. Whereas now a lot of teenagers, they walk into the room, they close the door, they put their headphones on, they pull their hood up and they stare at a screen, and it's all like inward. It's all internal. Mm. It's all isolated. You're on your own. So yeah, there's definite concerns and worries there, but we'll see over time what sort of impact it's had.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to have you with us on the show. Gavin Oates, thanks so much for joining us. If listeners want to get a copy of your latest book, it's called A Head Full of Everything, and it's available on our website, tre.radio. Gavin, do you look back on your teenage years fondly?
Oh, do you know, somebody literally asked me this question yesterday, and I really struggled to answer it.
Sorry, I put you on the spot.
No, it's okay, it's okay. So without using the particular swear word that was shared with me, I asked, in creating this book, I asked teenagers to describe being a teenager in as few words as possible. And one comment came back, well, hundreds came back, but one came back that said, being a teenager is brilliant. And then there was a little rude word there that it sounds like hit, but it's the Scottish version that sounds like right. Uh-huh. I thought, that's it. That is it. Being a teenager is brilliant. And it's utterly not. It's utterly not brilliant. And I think that sums up my teenage years. I loved it and I hated it and everything in between. So a real mixed bag for me.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you there, actually. Nicely put. Gavin, thanks so much for joining us. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.